We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. I'll be the host today. We have got a lot of breaking news. We've got Piers Morgan finally leaving. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Piers. And we got Mike Rogers, the apologist, the cheerleader for the NSA. He's leaving Congress. You know, he's head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, but he's leaving Congress. And where's he going? Talk radio. Yeah, that's going to be real interesting, isn't it? We've also got some ironies that we're going to bring up again about this California gun grabber who actually turned out to be a gun runner. Sounds a lot like Eric Holder's False and Furious, doesn't it? Except that it looks like this guy may be headed to jail. We've also got some GOP neocons heading to Las Vegas, hoping they're going to hit the jackpot with Sheldon Adelson. And if they kiss his ring, maybe he's going to give them a lot of money. He's got a lot of money to put in. In the last cycle, he gave $93 million to the presidential election. Now, to put that in perspective, going back to the year 2000, that's about what Al Gore spent on the presidential election. I think Bush spent about $200. So things have really changed. Of course, that's just $100 million. That's not all that much now when the candidates are spending $1 billion apiece, as they both did approximately in the last election in 2012, Obama and Romney. But it's enough to get these guys coming there and kissing your finger. And they had a lot to say about how we should be more proactive, how we should involve ourselves more in wars. It was a neocon wing of the Republican Party that was there to talk to Sheldon Adelson because that's what he's interested in funding. And if you remember the 2012 elections, there were a lot of shenanigans in Nevada, especially in the Vegas. That was the largest caucus in Nevada, and there were a lot of shenanigans going on there as he hijacked that whole thing, or attempted to hijack it. It went on for quite some time. We're not going to get into all of that, but we're going to tell you what happened at the meeting this weekend. We've also got Noah that was headed to the theaters, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we see that the mainstream media is still heading to the bottom of the heap. And we're going to talk a little bit more about these revelations that came out in Turkey. Now, again, YouTube was shut down last week as a video surfaced showing Turkish officials plotting a false flag attack so they could start a war with Syria. And, of course, today, there are elections going on in Turkey. They finished. They're now counting the ballots. I think 8 people have been killed in violence there around the election. It's a very troublesome area. They're trying to push into war with Syria. It seems to be like they're NATO's last gasp. And, of course, when this false flag information surfaced, the mainstream media went out of its way to avoid talking about what was actually said. They just focused on the fact that YouTube had been shut down, just as they had shut down Twitter. It's a very important thing to look at how these mainstream media outlets, BBC, the LA Times, Fox News, had an amazing summary of this story. So we're going to be taking a look at all of that. And we've got a lot of news about drones and new autonomy. We've got breaking health news. And we're going to be taking your calls. And let me give you that number, because the Sunday number is a little bit different. It is 877-789-ALEX. That's 877-789-ALEX. Now, one of the things that we've been talking about and we've been concerned about, of course, is metadata. And it's not this harmless thing that Mike Rogers and others like to make it out to be. It's actually a very dangerous thing. But, you know, you can have a very crude form of metadata that can still get you into trouble with the police. Take this story that happened in Idaho. This is a 70-year-old man who was driving from Colorado. He lives in Colorado. He's got Colorado tags. And he was driving to his home in Washington State. And he was pulled because he had Colorado tags, and he was given the once-over looking for marijuana just because he's from Colorado. You talk about meta tags, metadata. This is old-school metadata, old-school profiling, but we're going to talk about that and what the real stuff is coming up right after the break. Stay tuned. We've got a lot of news.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas and the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
President Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and you can be used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, March 30th. I'm David Knight. I'm going to be your host today, and I'm going to be taking your calls. Let me give you that number. It's 877-789-ALEX. Now, I was just talking just before the break about the news about the man who was arrested, 70-year-old man who was arrested looking for marijuana, solely because he had a Colorado license plate. Now, this was an Idaho state trooper who pulled him over. He was on his way to another home in Washington state. He has a Colorado tag. Says that the trooper pulled out immediately as he passed, rapidly accelerated to him. The complaint states when he pulled him over that the trooper asked him why his eyes were appearing glassy. And he asked him for various other stuff, but then kept asking to search the vehicle. Finally, the guy said, he refused at first, but finally gave him permission to search the vehicle after he threatened to bring a drug-sniffing dog and hold him until it got there. And he said when he did, despite the strong gusts of wind and precipitation that day, this is a lawsuit, this is the complaint, says the trooper claimed that he could smell the odor of marijuana. So they made a big deal out of it. They arrested him. They impounded the car. And, of course, they found absolutely nothing. This was simply a fishing expedition. This is why you don't want to have metadata being looked at by the government on everybody. These kinds of out-of-control false positives that we see with this is what they can do with everything in your life. This is a very old-school kind of a, instead of a meta tag, it's actually a license plate tag that they pulled him over on. And be aware of the fact, as we pointed out here at InfoWars, Homeland Security was caught trying to set up a database of license plates. We've also seen the Navy looking at everyone's license plates with their database. And of course, once we exposed that, Homeland Security pulled that back and said, no, we're not going to request that. They pulled back that request to fund that database. But then we also saw the very same day, a Wired magazine story that IBM and Cisco were competing to create a literal information highway, where they could not only look at your license plate tag, but they could basically look at everything that they're going to provide you internet as you're driving down the road, but they're going to totally profile everything about you. They're going to be watching everything as you move, not just your location, but where you're surfing. They're going to record your license plate data. This is a government that is totally out of control. This is a government that has to know everything about us, and it's absolutely beyond control. People are starting to push back against this. And I think one of the things that highlights this is that Mike Rogers, who has been the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, he's been one of the big cheerleaders for the NSA and this police surveillance state, along with Dianne Feinstein. a Democrat and a Republican, and they both love it. Well, it looks like he's not going to be running for re-election. Instead, he's going to be heading to talk radio. That's right. He's going to be the new voice for the system. Now, the question is he going as part of an expanded Operation Mockingbird? You know, that was the CIA's way to get control of the press. They actually had a name for it to try to get people into the press to sway public opinion. And we know that they do that constantly. We're going to be talking about how they do that with the false flag that was exposed in Turkey. But he might have also been leaving because people are turning against what he's doing. Listen to this. Now, this is from the Political Wire. And what they're saying is when they reported this, they said that his 8th district is currently rated a safe Republican district. But without him, it could be competitive. Mitt Romney carried the district by 3 points in 2012. Obama won it by 6 points in 2008. So it may be that he's not in such a safe seat after all. So this might be a smart move for him to get out while he can before he gets thrown out. Imagine what a black eye that would be in the face of the surveillance state if their biggest cheerleader got voted out. They don't want to see that happen. So he's going to go to talk radio. And there you're going to see him pushing the same kinds of dangerous ideas about the surveillance state as well as war. Of course, these are the kinds of people who not only love to spy on us and try to create a battlefield on the streets of America, putting tanks in the hands of the police, militarizing the police, but they also want to have war in every corner of the globe. And of course, Mike Rogers is one of those people. It'd be very embarrassing for them if they lost. You know, I kind of think he and Dianne Feinstein are kind of the Tokyo Rose and the Tokyo Rogers of the information war, I think. They're the lying people out there who are trying to push the population one way. And I think a large part of the surveillance state is a way to close the loop and see if you're actually buying their propaganda. Remember, it's just a few months ago that in the Defense Department, one young lady stood up and said, you know, they're not buying what we're telling them anymore. They think it's just a bunch of clumsy propaganda. And that's right. We don't buy that anymore. Look who else is stepping down. We've got Keith Alexander stepping down. At a ceremony this weekend, he ended his 9-year tenure at the NSA and his 40-year military career and said he's going to be retiring. I don't know if he's going to go to radio or what he's going to do. It's absolutely amazing. And we can see the heights of some of this stuff. Look at this story here from the Washington Post. It's called Franz Kafka Meets the National Security Agency. And what it is a story about a son who tried to get information about his father, who was illegally wiretapped by the CIA in 1963. And he talks about how he was pretty much stonewalled by the NSA and by other agencies. It turned out, he said, that the FBI was the one that was the most forthcoming. The NSA totally stonewalled him. And this is what was interesting, is what the NSA Freedom of Information Act officer said. Now, keep in mind, this is her job, to provide information under FOIA, for FOIA requests, okay? There is a law, Freedom of Information Act, that says that they must supply information under certain circumstances. But she says, as a result of my review, I've concluded that the appropriate response is to continue to neither confirm nor deny the existence or non-existence of any intelligence material on your father. This is back in 1963, mind you, okay? To do otherwise, when challenged under FOIA, would result in the exposure of intelligence information, sources, and methods, which could harm our national security and severely undermine NSA activities in general. And, of course, she signs that. That's Elizabeth Brooks, Chief of Staff of the FOIA Privacy Act. So there you go. Even in 1963, she can neither confirm nor deny the existence or non-existence of any information that we may have kept on your father 50 years ago, okay? That's how bad these people are. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. It looks like a lot of the rats are leaving the ship. They're so hated that they've got to put some new faces in there. It was just this last week that Mike Rogers tried to wrest away a reformation of some of the practices of the NSA onto his committee from the Judiciary Committee. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with some more information, and we're going to talk to you about how Turkey was covered. Talk about Operation Mockingbird, a great example. We'll be right back.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie.
No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. Now, just before the break, we were talking about Operation Mockingbird aspects of Mike Rogers and others, and we're going to get back to that. But before we do, this is a story that just came out yesterday about DARPA project that is seeking a hive mind for drones. This is something that is very, very concerning to a lot of people who understand the issues here. To give this kind of autonomous decision-making to warlike robots, or conversely, to consolidate the decision-making, even if the decision to fire is held by a human being, to consolidate this decision down to one individual is a very, very dangerous thing. And this is the kind of thing that we see happening, this kind of consolidation. Here's the story first. It says the Pentagon's research arm is launching a program to unite existing and future drones into hives, where individual autonomous aircraft will share data and operate together against targets on a battlefield, all while being controlled by one human. Now, they're trying to get increasing autonomy for these robots. And, of course, they keep telling us that it's going to simply be, that is going to be under the control of a human, but that's still not very reassuring. You know, I just recently watched with my family a 1995 movie called Crimson Tide. Very good movie, very well done. Denzel Washington, Gene Hackman. It's about a subcrew, and it's a crisis that's going on, very, very much like the crisis that's happening today in the Ukraine, where you've got some breakaway people inside of Russian Federation, get some controls of some nuclear weapons. It looks like they're going to perhaps launch those. And so initially, a command goes out to the submarine crew that they need to fire a nuclear weapon. And so they're waiting for confirmation from this, but the whole gist of the movie is the conflict between the commander of the sub and the number two, who's Denzel Washington, as to whether or not they're going to get confirmation from this after an accident happens on the sub and they're somewhat disabled from their communications. The whole thing is that there are checks and balances, human checks and balances, that you've got multiple people involved in this decision-making process. It isn't just one person who's involved in making this decision or this call. It's multiple people who have that choice. It's distributed, and there are checks and balances. But as we see what's happening at the very end of the movie, it says, don't worry, this couldn't happen anymore because that's now been consolidated under control of one person. But we don't want to see more and more consolidation of power. That's true whether or not it's legal power, whether or not it's political power, or whether or not it is nuclear weapons. We don't want to see that consolidated anymore. Of course, you have one person who has his finger on the button, and it was kind of scary to realize that for decades, the firing code was just a series of zeros. As Stefan Molyneux said, we were just a nuclear disaster away from somebody leaning on a keyboard. But it's very concerning to see what DARPA is doing with this, how they are making these robots autonomous. This is a very, very dangerous trend. But getting back to, and I guess before we get back to Operation Mockingbird, let me go on this this NOAA story here, because as many of you know, the movie NOAA came out this Friday, and a lot of people have had a lot to say about it. And I'm interested to know what some of you think that may have seen it. And the number is 877-789-ALEX. Now, there was an op-ed piece in Time magazine from Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis, and he said, except for some of the names in the movie, there's hardly any remnant of the Bible's account of the flood in Genesis 6 through 9 that's recognizable. But he and others have pointed out that what this really is a very anti-human agenda. I've seen this before personally. I took my sons about 12, 13 years ago to London, and we went to the Children's Museum, and they had a loop that was playing at the playground area constantly, and it was about Gaia. The whole idea that the Earth is some kind of a living organism or some kind of a god, and that humans are merely a destructive virus that we need to either control to a very, very small amount, population reduction, depopulation, actually, or we need to exterminate altogether for the good of the Earth. That's essentially the view that is being put out by this movie from Darren Aronofsky. And a screenwriter whose name is Brian Gadawa got the script early, and he wrote about this last fall, I believe, maybe even earlier than that. And he went to see the movie because a lot of people were kicking back and saying, that's not what the movie is about. You haven't seen it. They're probably going to change it. He saw it, and he said, it's basically exactly what I have seen. He said, I finally saw the movie. Now I know why Paramount and its hired Christian marketers would not let me into an early screening to correct my analysis of the early script of Noah. It's because I was right. He said the Noah movie is ugly. It's anti-human exceptionalism. It's enviro-agiprop, in other words, environmental propaganda. And it's poorly done. I can't recommend this movie, not just because of its god-awful theology, or should I say earthology, but because it's god-awful filmmaking. He said, like The Last Temptation of Christ, all the controversy overshadowed the fact that it was just plain, terrible storytelling. Same thing here. And he says, I've got to say something to all those Christian leaders and film critics who saw the early screening and kept defending the movie, saying in reference to my blog post, the movie's different, the movie's different, you can't talk about it because you haven't seen it. He says, shame on you, because you knew when you were saying it, it wasn't true and I was right. You were tools, and Aronofsky is laughing at you behind your backs. He's subverting your sacred story, and he's not even doing it well, but you're still supporting it. And you know what they're doing is they're actually changing it to their religion, which is an anti-human, anti-depopulation, eugenics agenda. That's one aspect of it. That's what they're selling you. The only sins are the sins that are being committed by those against the earth. And of course, we see in it, as Ken Ham pointed out in his example, he said that Noah wants to exterminate all of mankind. He doesn't want his sons to have children. And when it looks like, and when the granddaughters are born, he tries to kill them. This is the message from this human-hating film that they try to put out as a biblical epic. Now let's go to a couple of your phone calls here. We've got Truth Raider in Oregon. Truth Raider, what do you want to talk about today?
It's so wonderful to talk to you for the first time. You're doing a great job there. Usually I call in regularly and I talk to Alex. I have things on my mind that's going on. I missed it last week because Alex was busy with Mark talking about his difficulty with YouTube and being blocked out, but there was an anniversary. As a matter of fact, there were two anniversaries.
You know what? We're coming up to a commercial break. Hang on. We'll be right back to you. We'll be taking some more calls, and we're going to be talking about the Operation Mockingbird aspects of what happened with Turkey this last week, as well as Piers Morgan finally leaves, and he takes a couple of shots more. But not with a gun, just with his mouth. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. I'm your host today. And I was just talking to Truth Raider from Oregon. We just started the call and we had to go to commercial break. Truth Raider, go ahead and tell us what you wanted to talk about.
Hey, David, no worries. No worries about that at all. In 1775, Sir Patrick Henry uttered these words, give me liberty or give me death. That was on March 23rd, 1775. That was missed last week, unfortunately. And then in this date, March 23rd, 2005, Bush did the treasonous act of signing our country away with the SPPA Act.
Mm-hmm.
Between Vicente Fox and the Prime Minister of Canada, I believe it is. And that made us into one North American union.
Well, what do you think about the Trans-Pacific trade agreement, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
I think that's like a subsection of it, perhaps.
Well, actually, they're kind of expanding it. They're trying to create these regional centers, like you pointed out with NAFTA. Now they've got TPP and they've got Transatlantic Free Trade Agreement, which is essentially taking the Atlantic and the Pacific. What they're doing is they're consolidating into these regional trade groups, and then they're moving to expand it into a global trade group, of course. It's all about consolidation. And the thing I think that is amazing is how blatant the TPP is in terms of being a substitute for CISPA, how they're elevating corporations to the level of countries, as we've already seen with NAFTA. We're seeing that again with these agreements, where you have three people that are going to hear all the cases. One of them will be picked by the corporation. One will be picked by the country. Essentially, they have the same influence as the countries in terms of deciding what the laws are going to be, in terms of adjudicating these different agreements. It's absolutely amazing how we're moving to this global corporatocracy.
Yes, it is. It's what you'd basically call a corporate tyranny in itself. Mm-hmm. All of these combined together, and it's just eviscerating the Constitution. But they're able to carry this out because of that act, the SBPA Act, on March 23rd, 2005. That takes a lot away of the power of the Constitution, and that's the first step toward that. So we're now a North American Union, so we're three states in one. So they want to come up, this is what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to come up eventually, modify the Constitution, and make it a North American Union Constitution, or maybe perhaps a universal Constitution.
Well, it's interesting. We'll have to wait and see. You know, I think it really depends on the information war, because I don't think that they can make an agreement that is above the Constitution. People disagree about that. I don't think, though, that any treaty can be made that abrogates the Constitution. But if people set back and allow them to do this, they'll get away with it. The whole point is that they're doing a lot of things that are against the law, that are against the Constitution, and then they're constantly coming back and trying to pass laws that essentially give them cover to do what they want. For example, the NSA spies for decades on people, collects information for decades on people. Now they're trying to get legal authority to do that. Because they, even though they've ignored the law for a long period of time, they don't like to have themselves out there fully exposed just in case people start to prosecute them for breaking the law and breaking their oath. Well, thank you, Truth Radio. I want to go to a couple of people in California, because we had some interesting news out of California last week. We had a state senator in California, Leland Yee, who was one of the some people have said he's like the second most powerful person in the California Senate. I don't know, but regardless, he was one of the biggest pushers of gun control bills. And of course, he was busted in a sting by the FBI trying to sell guns. And he had some amazing quotes. He said, do I think we can make some money? Yeah, I think we can make some money, according to the FBI transcripts. Do I think we can get the goods? Yeah, I think we can get the goods. People want to get whatever they want to get. Do I care? No, I don't care. People need certain things. Now, this is the guy who wanted to ban pretty much all semi-automatic weapons and most pistols in California. And, of course, some of the things that he's going to get people are things like even rocket launchers, not just M16s, but rocket launchers. Now, the LA Times points out, they say that gun rights groups jumped on the possible ironies. Possible ironies? Are you kidding me? Possible ironies? This thing is beyond irony, and hopefully he's going to go to jail, unlike Eric Holder and others in the ATF who orchestrated Fast and Furious in order to undermine the Second Amendment. That's not just my opinion. New York Times said that as well. And of course, part of the running of guns across the border that False and Furious was about was so that they could make a case to register all guns, and therefore confiscate eventually all guns. And that all ties into the UN arms trade treaty. That was going to be the basis to push us towards that treaty. But it kind of blew up in their face when a government agent got shot. But now the other thing that they're doing in California is they're trying to push this away from the Democrat, from Leland Yee. And they're talking now a lot about this gangster that was also arrested. There were 26 people that were arrested. And now they're talking about Shrimp Boy. This is a guy, San Francisco's notorious self-described son of the underworld. They spell that S-U-N. That's the way he described himself. Goes by several names, Chung Chow, Raymond Chow, and Shrimp Boy. I don't know what that means. But they say he's a former gangster and leader of the Chi Kung Tong Freemasons. Freemasons of San Francisco. They've even got, so there they are. Freemasons come back. This was from NBC. Pointed out that Shrimp Boy is a Freemason. Let's go to Glenn in California. Glenn, how are you doing? How'd you make out in the earthquakes out there?
Oh, I was unaffected by that. I'm kind of about 300 or 400 miles away from that, so I did okay.
Good. Good.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
With the Leland Yee thing, it's like all the senators over here, Feinstein and Yee and all those guys, they say they're against gun rights and all that stuff, but in the limelight, they're all carrying. They have all bodyguards that carry. And
yes.
Just the whole thing with the Congress out here is like it's for us and then nobody else. And how do we prosecute these people? How do we take our Constitution back? How do we take our government back? How do we do this? I'm just frustrated. I don't know what to do. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with this.
It is very frustrating. I mean, from our perspective, what I'm trying to do is make people aware of it because so many people are not even aware of it. I think if we get a broader base of people who see this hypocrisy, who see the criminal actions, there's so many people. When Ja'Kari Jackson went to South by Southwest here and he was asking people about gun regulations, he got into a discussion with a guy and he said, well, you know that Hitler banned the guns and aren't you worried about guns being solely in the hands of the government, that there might be something that would be very dangerous about that. And the guy that he's talking to says, yeah, I understand that, but we're talking about America here. That can't happen here. So he doesn't understand the danger, the hypocrisy, the criminal behavior that's going on with this. And so people need to understand that, yes, human nature does change. America's exceptional in a lot of ways, but we aren't exceptional in terms of our human spirit. Power corrupts. And it also draws the most corrupt people in society to it like a magnet. And so that's why the founders of this country gave us checks and balances and told us that if we were going to remain free, we had to watch those who had power, especially those who wanted power. We had to watch them extremely closely. And that's really what we need to do. Right now, it's at an education stage because I still think the vast majority of people, unless they are part of the NRA or Gun Owners of America, one of these gun rights associations, most people don't really understand the importance of the Second Amendment and its purpose. Thank you, Glenn. Let's go to another person in California. Rick in California. Rick, how are you?
Hi, David. How are you? We appreciate you and Alex and the show very much.
Thank you. How'd you make out in the earthquakes?
Pretty good on that. You know, I called in about the overwhelming evidence on a couple of points on 9/11. You know, I'm a lawyer, and we work off of evidence, and you sound very, you know, professional and, you know, in everything that you do, and could appreciate that. But more in line with your topic that you just brought up, you know, a case was brought in San Diego County saying that this you have to have a shall issue policy for concealed weapons permits, that it's unconstitutional in violation of the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And Ninth Circuit, which is very liberal normally.
Wait a second. Hang on, because we're coming up to a commercial break. I want to hear what you have to say. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and I was talking to Rick in California just before we had to go to break. Now, Rick is a lawyer, and he was laying out some of the issues in this recent case in San Diego where they refused to issue permits to people. Rick, go ahead and tell us what you want to tell us about that case.
For years, California has been a may issue state. You have to show good cause, which is very difficult in some counties, especially San Francisco and LA, don't issue any permits, practically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But these gentlemen, I believe they were lawyers, brought a lawsuit saying it's in violation of the Second Amendment. Much to the surprise of everybody, the Ninth Circuit ruled they were right and that California has to become a shall issue like the other 40 states. Well, the sheriff in San Diego County decided not to appeal it. He was fine with it. Guess what happened? Kamala Harris, the attorney general, it wasn't even her case. Okay, this was brought into federal court, and she has no business even being involved, filed a petition to be an intervener and appeal it.
Really?
Just another example of the gun grabbers out there. You know, she doesn't like the fact that people are going to be carrying concealed weapons, so she's going to stick her nose in, and all she does is take pictures with Obama, and she's a political sycophant.
You know, in that case, the Ninth Circuit Court quoted D.C. versus Heller extensively, and there was some pretty strong language in there about how gun control laws, they were saying in D.C. versus Heller, they could make some regulations for safety purposes, but they couldn't just abrogate people's rights to carry. And they quoted that in that court decision. And I find it amazing that you see in D.C. versus Heller, it's now been about 6 years since that case. And again, the same thing is happening in D.C. as what you just described in California. You got politicians who just refuse to listen to the courts as well. And that really shouldn't surprise us, I guess, because they don't listen to the Constitution. They don't listen to the laws unless it suits them. And they appeal to the courts and say that we have a living document in the Constitution and that living document is whatever the Supreme Court says it is at the moment. But then when the Supreme Court says that it is something that they don't like, they just choose to ignore it, don't they?
These guys were it was between the plaintiffs and the county council, and the sheriff decided he didn't want to appeal it. And yet, and here's Kamala Harris stepping in, you know, whose only goal is to further her political office. She's against the death penalty, you know, and doesn't care about crime victims in real terms. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. You know, that's what we're up against in California. I mean, you guys in Texas have a much better situation, I would think.
It's amazing. Hopefully people will look at this Leyland Yee thing and start to get the idea that these people have got an agenda that is completely different, a private agenda that's completely different from their public agenda. What do you think about this guy in D.C. that was just convicted of having replica bullets and a dud shell? Have you heard about that case?
Oh, yeah, I heard on the show. Yeah.
So many
things I hear about on the show. The show is fantastic for educating me. I mean, we're Prison Planet TV members for that reason.
Well, thank you. Thank you for supporting us. That helps a lot. This is a guy in Washington, for people who don't know this case, his name is Mark Widishek. And his ex-wife was trying to harass him using the police, and they found they raided him a couple of times. He was a hunter, but he kept his guns in Virginia where it was legal. He did have a souvenir shotgun shell that had misfired. It was a dud. And it was already, I mean, the thing would not work at all. And then he had some muzzle loading bullets. Basically just the bullet, not any powder, no casings, nothing that's going to propel it, just the bullet. And we've got up there for people who are watching. You can see what it looks like. It's a bullet that's in a plastic sabot, which is a way that you can put it in and use it in a muzzle loader. It wasn't a projectile at all. And he was describing this to Fox News, and it was just amazing. He said he was the only one in the court that even knew what these components were. They had no idea what these were. I think the charge was officially that he was attempting to acquire ammunition. I mean, they couldn't even really call it ammunition because it wasn't ammunition. It only had the metal bullet. It didn't have anything to propel it with. And he was given a $50 fine, and he has to register as some kind of a gun offender. And they pointed out, quite rightly, that this is in sharp contrast to the treatment that was given to an NBC News personality, David Gregory, who you remember went on the air with a 30-round AR-15 magazine during a broadcast of Meet the Press. They just ignored that. Why? Because he's pushing their agenda. Anything else you wanted to say, Rick, in California?
Just real quickly, I know time is limited. I just, the fact of what this show does in broadcast excellence, in my opinion, when it brings the George Hansen story, a lot of things I never heard of, and I go look up. Here's a guy who's a congressman, you know, and he protested the IRS, and Alex used the term they dieseled him. I've never heard that before.
Yes.
And I find out the guy's being transported for weeks and months on end with no respite, no rest, hunched over, his toenails are growing, and you know, I mean, he practically died from this.
Yes.
And this was the government doing this to him from prison to prison, the federal prison system. So, yes. You know, people, the main point is there's foul play and all these things, and it's always about the same thing. It's about the money, Building 7, the insider trading, the
yes.
mysterious deaths, Tim Osmond, you know, Bin Laden being really Tim Osmond, and all these things, architects and engineers, down Don Browning, Oklahoma City. The list goes on and on, and thank God for you guys for bringing this stuff to the forefront, because when it finally enough people realize it like I do, then the tide will turn.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you very much, Rick. Very well said. Thank you. Great call. Let's go to Mark in Wisconsin. Mark.
Yeah, that's a good point. The last caller there, with the lack of information that people are they're just not aware. This is my first time calling. I've been listening to you guys for a while now, and I'm really happy with what you guys are doing. And it's really too bad. You can't be on a larger broadcast and go more mainstream, you know, versus the dinosaur media getting the chance of sucking up all the airwaves.
Well, thank you. We're trying. You know, they're actually imploding. As we mentioned on Friday, their ratings are just falling. I mean, they're down 50-60% over a year. Just since in the most recent one, MSNBC was down 24%. And it's because they won't follow the stories where they go. A great example of that is what happened this last week in Turkey, where you had a recording of the Turkish officials, the head of the intelligence, the head minister, as well as a person who is in charge of the military, who they're plotting a false flag attack to try to start a war with Syria. And in order to stop it, they shut down YouTube and call these guys villainous and dishonest. And the mainstream media picks this up. Paul Joseph Watson points out that this is how they reported it. Reuters says, well, this appeared to center on a possible operation to secure the tomb of Suleiman Shah. BBC says it relates to a discussion of possible military operations. Here's what these guys were actually saying. They said, I'll make up a cause of war by ordering a missile attack on Turkey. That's what the head of Turkish intelligence said. Then the deputy chief of military staff says, it's a direct cause of war. I mean, what we're going to do is a direct cause of war. And then another guy says, we can also prepare an attack on the tomb if necessary. And if it's a pretext, we'll give you one. Pretexts can be arranged. We'll mount an attack against that place. This is what these guys are saying. And yet Reuters and BBC are just saying, well, this is a possible military operation. CNN talks about how and why the audio tape was leaked. They don't talk about anything that's in it, actually. The LA Times says this is talking about a possible military intervention in Syria. And then, of course, they also repeat the talking points of the Turkish government saying that this is dishonest and villainous. Same thing we saw with the Snowden leaks. And yet what they're doing is just giving cover to these people. They don't want to talk about the fact that they set up a false flag. They can't use that F word, those two F words. It's not in their lexicon. What was there anything else you wanted to say, Mark?
Well, I just wanted to bring out the point that unfortunately, when you're trying to educate people and the deer in the headlights scenario that you end up coming across all too often is really, really frustrating. You know, between the friends and the family and you know, coming from basically a college town from the Madison being UW,
I understand
college filth, and you would think that people would be more educated and quite liberal. It's actually more of a liberal town, but
Well, you know what it takes, Mark, is it takes people who will actually do the research themselves, but sometimes the trigger for it is a show like ours. What they're hearing is the same thing, whether it's Reuters or BBC or the LA Times or CNN. They're not hearing the full picture. They're only hearing that, for example, in this, that Turkey shut down YouTube and Twitter. They're not hearing why they shut it down. They're not hearing that they were pushing a false flag attack. We're talking about that. We're one of the few, if probably the only outlet that's talking about it outside of alternative media. I like to call it authentic media because we're going to tell you what's really going on, the truth as best we know. We're going to be right back. We're going to take some more calls. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, March 30th, 2014. I'm David Knight, your host, and we're taking callers and talking about false flags, mockingbird media, covering up for the revelations that Turkey is trying to start the war for Syria for NATO. And of course, Turkey's been involved with NATO in some false flag operations before. During Operation Gladio, of course, that took place in Italy. It was Turkey that supplied a lot of the people who were going to run it. As Sibel Edmonds pointed out, they were called babas or godfathers in Turkey. These are guys who were some of the most dangerous organized crime figures in Turkish prisons, were released and sent to run these Gladio attacks. And the Gladio attacks were done to, they were false flag operations, not to start a war, but to take down the Communist Party, which was winning in elections in Italy. They were put out as being, they were portrayed as being carried out by the Red Brigades, by the Communists, when in actuality, they were carried out by NATO, using arms that had been pre-positioned in case the country had been overrun during a war with Russia. They went in and used these weapons to engage in terrorist attacks against the population of Italy and blame it on the Communists. And of course, Turkey and the Turkish government was involved in that. Now, it appears that Turkey is NATO's best hope for starting a war with Syria. We had a situation just recently where there was a shooting of planes and they were trying to use that as a pretext to go in. Of course, there are Turkish elections that are involved in this. There's a lot of corruption in Turkey. And they have jihadists who are threatening the sacred Turkish tomb, according to Fox News. Oh, but wait a minute. That was actually the Turkish government that was doing that. Listen, though, to the way that Fox News reported this on the 28th, on Friday. They said a man who's been dead for nearly 800 years could be the catalyst that draws Turkey into Syria's bloody civil war. Jihadists who poured into Syria have threatened to attack the sacred tomb of Suleiman Shah. Except that it wasn't jihadists who were threatening to do it. It was actually the head of Turkish intelligence, the chief of the military, who were recorded doing this. And that was leaked onto YouTube, and they shut down YouTube. They were saying things like, I will make a cause of war by ordering a missile attack on Turkey. What we're doing is going to be a direct cause of war. We're going to mount an attack on that place, on the same tomb that Fox News is reporting about it. But Fox News says there is now a threat to that shrine. There are 25 Turkish soldiers currently there, and the Turkish government takes this threat very seriously because this is Turkish territory. They take it seriously? They're the ones making the threat. It's the Turkish government making the threat. But of course, that was an interview that came out of, guess where? Voice of America. Remember Voice of America? Radio Free Europe? That was the organization that was created right after World War II, at the beginning of the Cold War. They were prohibited at that time from broadcasting news into America. Just last year, that prohibition has been lifted. We're going to be getting a lot more of that propaganda, a lot more especially since Mike Rogers is leaving the Senate Intelligence Committee, and he's now heading for talk radio. So who needs Voice of America when you got Mike Rogers on talk radio? It's going to be there. But there's also other things going on in Turkey. We've got Armenians, Christian Armenians, accusing Turkey of aiding Al-Qaeda rebels in an attack on Syrian Christian villages. Armenian leaders have accused Turkey of aiding Al-Qaeda-affiliated rebel groups during their attack on a largely Armenian Christian village in northern Syria. And they said Turkey's facilitation of Al-Qaeda-affiliated foreign fighters and their attacks on innocent civilians in Syria undermines ongoing U.S. and international efforts to bring peace to a country ravaged by violence for far too long. That was the chairman of the Armenian National Committee of America. So they're accusing Turkey of running Al-Qaeda. And we know that NATO forces and John McCain were involved with Al-Qaeda in Syria. And that was what they were talking about in this leaked tape. They said they're going to use Al-Qaeda to stage this attack on the Suleiman tomb. So it's back as we've been telling you, it's actually the U.S. government really has been running Al-Qaeda. They created it, and they're running it still. Sorry, Rachel Maddow, it's a matter of record. We're going to be right back. We're going to be taking your calls. We've got people waiting, Marlon in Michigan and Dennis in Oregon. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Zach, this is Crystal Palace. Sync NORAD has declared DEFCON 3. Scramble all alert aircraft.
I repeat, scramble all alert aircraft.
The Whopper spends all its time thinking about World War III.
Target selection complete. Time on target sequence complete.
22 Typhoon-class submarines departing Petropavlovsk, turning southbound at Nordkap, bearing 095 degrees.
Radar reports two unknown tracks are penetrating the Alaskan Air Defense Zone.
From the front lines of the information war.
Flush the bombers, get the subs in launch mode. We are at DEFCON 1.
Are you prepared to destroy the enemy?
You bet.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic.
We'll keep control, but we'll keep it here at the top where it belongs.
3, 2, 1. Impact.
Shall we play a game?
How about global thermonuclear war?
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All units confirm weapons targeted and ready, awaiting launch codes.
We are in a launch mode.
Do you really believe that the enemy would attack without provocation?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We're in.
Russians are still denying everything, sir.
We have a Soviet submarine launch detection.
I wish I didn't know about any of this. I wish I was like everybody else.
Friends, then, the only winning move is not to play.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. That was a great spot that intros this. If you haven't seen that, you need to check it out on our website where you can actually see the video of all those clips. I love that from that was War Games. I wish I didn't know any of this. So many people react to the truth that way. It's really, you can't avoid it by not knowing about it. That's the key thing. Marlon in Michigan has been waiting a long time. We've been talking about how Mike Rogers is going to be leaving, stopping his cheerleading for the NSA and the Congress, and now he's going to become a talk radio host. Marlon, what do you make of it?
Well, first of all, I look at him and I know for a fact, I mean, he's neocon all day. But my only concern is that I hope that people, you know, who listen to the show, people who are, you know, in the know or what have you. Because me, myself, I mean, I unfortunately voted for Barack Obama like twice. And shortly after voting for him that second time, that's when I became aware, learned about NDAA. And ever since that point, I mean, I've been a direct, you know, in conflict with Democrats and Republicans to a certain extent. My only concern is that I hope that people would call in and bombard his shows with, like, truth questions so that people would know, you know, that he's not who he purports to be. He's going to be just an agent to kind of like counteract InfoWars or Drudge or what have you.
Yeah.
And I also had one more thing I wanted to ask you. I'm looking at this article that's on Global Research, and it's talking about this Iraq nation destroyed, oil riches confiscated, and surviving Iraqi population impoverished. And it goes on to say, it just says that since 1945, the United States has presided over the killings of more than 46 million people in the global south through wars and neocolonialism in order to maintain Western economic dominance. And for the perspective of, like, viewers, just let that marinate in your mind as to what we're underneath here when we talk about what can we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have a country that's willing to kill that many people, you know, I understand where people come from when they say, what can we do? Because in actuality, it's not, I mean, it's even more than just information of war. Most definitely get on our research or what have you. But what is that next step, you know, once we do get informed? Because we do constantly find that battle of what it is that we can do.
Well, you know, they quoted it. They said, to maintain Western economic dominance. That's not exactly what's going on. A lot of people hear that and say, well, that's a good thing. I live in the West, and I want us to be economically dominant. But it's not you. It's these banks. It's these the small group of people, the military-industrial complex, the banks that basically put TARP over on us, the banks that are money laundering and get away with it because Eric Holder says that they're too big to jail, the banks that were too big to fail in 2008 are too big to jail in 2010, 2012. So it's this criminal group that is running it, the way it's the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about. That's why we've been at war for 60 years continuously. That's why so many people have been killed. And people have to wake up to that. But they're always vulnerable to this pitting one group against another. And we see this especially with these neocons that are going to this this coronation, I guess. So I guess they're really trying to get some money from Sheldon Adelson in Vegas. And we see this is reported from, it was on Drudge Report, how Chris Christie is trying to get back in the good graces of the Republicans after his Bridgegate scandal. And these guys are going to this multi-billionaire in Vegas and essentially trying to get on his good graces. This is a guy who gave $93 million in the last election. And so they're going there trying to get him to give them money. They're meeting with him privately. People like Chris Christie, people like Jeb Bush. And of course, Governor Mike Huckabee won the Adelson Defender of Israel Award at the Zionist Organization of America's annual dinner in New York. John Bolton is there, and he's criticizing Rand Paul, who's not there, but everybody is directing their criticism towards him, talking about American passivity. That was a quote from Jeb Bush. You've got all of these guys saying that when Paul says that our foreign policy is too overreaching, no, we can't have that. We've got to be strong. We've got to get involved, even to the point that when Chris Christie talked about how he was in Israel, how much he loved Israel, he made the remark that he flew over occupied territories. And they didn't like that because, you see, we don't occupy territories. We liberate territories, right? We're not occupying Iraq and Afghanistan. We're liberating those areas. And so when he met privately and kissed the ring of Sheldon Adelson, then he made it clear that he misspoke when he referred to occupied territories. He is an unwavering friend of Israel, and he will do whatever they wish. The thing that I think was most amazing was the response. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, this is John Kasich of Ohio. And he repeatedly referred to Sheldon as if the billionaire was the only other person in the room, according to the New York Times. This guy is not auditioning for president. He's auditioning to become a puppet. I hope you're right, Marlon. I hope that people do call in to Mike Rogers and badger him with the truth. Going back to one of these exchanges, this was back on October the 31st, we reported this on InfoWars. Mike Rogers argues that spying is okay as long as the government doesn't get caught. Mike Rogers said, I would argue that we haven't had any complaints come forward with any specificity arguing that their privacy has been violated. So that clearly indicates that in 10 years, it clearly indicates that we must be doing something right. Somebody must be doing something exactly right. Now, the guy who was talking to him was a constitutional expert, Stephen Vladek, and he said, but who would be complaining? And Rogers said, somebody whose privacy was violated. You can't have your privacy violated if you don't know your privacy is violated. And he says, I disagree with that. If a tree falls in the forest, it makes a noise whether or not you're there to see it or not. And then Rogers says, well, that's a new interesting standard in the law. Yeah, it's a standard called objectivity. Anything else you wanted to say about Mike Rogers, Marlon?
Yeah, I wanted to add one more thing for our listeners is to look up his wife, Christy Rogers. I mean, she just somehow secured, I believe it was either like last year or the year before last, she secured like $10 billion for a company from the Department of Defense.
Yes.
And this is all while, you know, Rogers was in office and doing what he was doing on a committee of intelligence. I just find that to be very odd. And I wanted to ask you one more question, a little bit off topic as well. Was there any truth to that when all the nukes, the missing nukes was missing? Was there any truth to some sort of a nuclear explosion like out in the ocean away from South Carolina?
Several people have said that. We've not been able to verify that. I mean, our source, we are definitely certain of our source who gave us that information about the nukes at Dyess Air Force Base, how they were being moved. And we don't have any source about the explosions in the Atlantic that followed not too long after that, supposedly. I think it was reported as maybe an earthquake, somebody said, but I can't verify that one way or the other, but I can verify our source that they were very surprised. It was not procedure. They weren't even supposed to have nuclear weapons at Dyess Air Force Base. And it was very uncanny that Lindsey Graham, the very day that this was happening, was talking about the possibility of a suitcase nuke taking place in South Carolina, in Charleston specifically. We're going to be right back. Thank you, Marlon, for the call.
Waging on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, hosting today, and we've got calls that we're going to go back to. We've got Vince in Montana. We want to talk to him about the Noah movie. We mentioned that earlier in the program. It's anti-human depopulation agenda. Actually, there's a word for that. It's actually a religion called Gaia, which sees humans as a virus, inflicting the planet with something has to be wiped off. And there are elements of that I've heard in the movie. We're going to talk to Vince. Hopefully he's seen it, give us his opinion. But this hour is brought to you by My Patriot Supply. The path to liberty starts with attaining a level of self-reliance for you, for your family. My Patriot Supply is the home of a wide variety of survival products, including the Patriot Pantry line of emergency food storage products. Patriot Pantry is delicious, nutritious, and prepares in minutes. Patriot Pantry offers an amazing variety, great taste, and is packaged to last up to 25 years. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today to experience their top-rated customer service, top-quality products, and incredibly reasonable prices. The products you need, the service you expect, and the price you can afford. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today. Vince in Montana, I wanted to talk to people who'd seen Noah. Have you seen it? Oh, we lost Vince. Doggone. He waited a very long time. I really wanted to hear somebody that had seen it. Let's go to Dennis in Oregon. Dennis, you want to talk about Oath Keepers? I think we lost Dennis as well. How about, let's see, we got Chris in Kentucky. You're still there. False flags.
Dave.
Or not.
Dave?
Yes. How you doing? Good. We got somebody. How okay. How you doing?
Yeah, your false flag about Syria and David and John McCain and everything, you're right. I just wanted to bring that up. But people do need to know their history. Since before, you know, the wars that we created, when 1913, when all the banks were established, they had to get a crisis. This is world power. They want the sinking of the Maine to get a war with Spain.
Oh, yeah. Documented. Oh, yeah. It goes back to the Roman Empire. They were doing that kind of stuff even back then, certainly, yeah.
Absolutely, and that's what. And you talked about the founding fathers, because the founding fathers in those days knew a tyranny what it was long before we had iPhones or computers. They knew this because, folks, if you don't and you sit back and do nothing about this, we're going to have a tyrannical thing. And you say, "Well, nothing's going to happen. We'll never have a false flag in America." No, they will never. We already did on 9/11. Okay,
that's right. You know, human nature doesn't change, does it? The technology changes. But human nature doesn't change. And the same things that were a problem at the time that the founders were around, the same things that they warned us about a standing permanent army, warning us not to get involved in foreign conflicts. Don't go abroad seeking monsters to destroy, because they're going to come back and they're going to destroy you. They're going to get you involved in their never-ending conflicts. And you're going to be attacked at home by that standing army that you think is defending you from foreign enemies.
Absolutely, and you're right, because last weekend, you know, this made national news. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, when those teenagers went on that rampage. Now they're talking about more security. The Kentucky Derby's coming up, more security. And they're putting this fear tactic in there. What are we going to have, NATO forces at the Kentucky Derby to protect you with fully automatic weapons? And it's the conditioning out here. We've got to get real, folks.
You know, I think it starts, really, they're conditioning everyone in the schools. When I was in school, we didn't even have police officers. We didn't have metal detectors. We didn't have lockdown. We didn't have any of that stuff. They have created an environment of fear, an environment of a totalitarian society in the schools now, and that's how they're getting away with it. Every time anything happens, it's always an excuse to start essentially martial law.
Exactly. And they want to condition this, and that once they do that, they could put the mindset into people's mind. With this technology, they could probably do it with all these frequencies, like Deborah Tavera says. It's probably coming. You know, folks, educate. Talk to people. Talk to your county. Most of all, talk to your county sheriff. Start local, because this can be done. There's a lot of people out there. Get together. It can be done. I've talked to people just around here. They know a lot is wrong. I've talked to military people. They know a lot's wrong. It can be done. Don't be afraid.
Yes.
Don't be fearful. Take a stand and get on your hind legs like Alex says.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris in Kentucky. Now, there is some good news. There is a news article that came out today in Indiana. The governor has signed a pro-gun bill into law that protects guns in school parking lots. That's the insanity that we've seen in so many places. We just had a case last week where a student got into a lot of trouble because they went out and checked his car and found a pocket knife in his car. Come on, a pocket knife. It's absolutely insane. And they said it was part of a routine inspection. Since when is going through somebody's car in a parking lot a routine inspection? That's where we've lost it at that point. But this Indiana law is now going to prohibit the government from going into people's cars. This is Senate Bill 229, which will allow otherwise legal gun owners to have a firearm on school property, parking lots specifically, as long as it's locked inside of their vehicle. Exactly. It's not threatening anybody. That's just a common sense law. That's not even really a pro-gun bill. It's not even a pro-gun owner bill. It's just common sense. And the question is, okay, that happened now in Indiana. That was a bill that was signed in law there. We talked about Chris Christie going to Vegas and sucking up to billionaire Sheldon Adelson and walking back his comments about how he visited occupied territory in Israel, you know, doing everything he can to suck up to Sheldon Adelson, who is a self-described Zionist. The question is Chris Christie going to sign a new gun control bill in New Jersey? This is something that was put out by Gun Owners of America. They said New Jersey Governor Chris Christie might soon face a monumental decision over a gun control bill that could land on his desk. And it's a bill to limit magazine capacity from 15 rounds down to 10 rounds. See how that works? If they can tell you how many rounds you can have, it's just a matter of time before they're going to go from 15 to 10 to 5 to maybe 0. Like in Washington, where we see this guy he literally had no guns. He had no ammunition. He had some muzzle loading bullets, no powder. He had a misfired shotgun shell that he kept as a souvenir, and he got in trouble for attempting to acquire ammunition. So the question is Chris Christie going to sign this bill? This bill that is going to now take down magazine capacities from 15 rounds to 10 rounds. That's already passed the House. It's already passed the Senate. It's waiting for Chris Christie's signature, and we're waiting to see what he's going to do about that. We already know that he wants to go to war with everyone. Let's go to Habu in Wisconsin. Habu?
Yeah, hello, Mr. Knight. Thank you very much. I especially enjoyed you analyzing Representative Rogers' impending retirement. This guy is a punk who's really on the NSA bandwagon, but I don't want to go there. I am calling to just bring to your attention, although people at InfoWars are eminently informed, what President Obama said in Europe, making the comparison of Iraq to the Russian action in Crimea. And there are about four or five lies there.
Hang on, Habu. I want to get that. That's a great point that you're about to make there. I want everybody to hear that. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back. We've got to take a commercial break. Hang on, Habu. We'll be right back to you.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hello, me. Meet the real me. My misfits way of life.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we were talking to Habu from Wisconsin, one of our callers, just before we went to break. He was about to make a point about Obama recreating history. Habu, go ahead. I'm sorry we had to go to a break. Pick up.
Not at all. Thank you. I'll just break it down into about four sentences and just a brief commentary after each. One of the lies that was mentioned was the Iraq War was a subject of vigorous debate, not just around the world, but in the United States as well, which is patently false. People like Phil Donahue, who were going to talk honestly about it, he sure was removed. On the other hand, you had people like Judith Miller within the New York Times who was still topping this kind of information, which was patently false, and then being regurgitated by the criminal class.
Mm-hmm.
The second lie is America sought to work within the international system. Of course, we all know that that is completely false. When it was apparent that it would be vetoed in the Security Council, the U.S. administration withdrew it from the Security Council so that it didn't have a no to deal with. So it went on its own, just as it did with Kosovo earlier with Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is we did not claim or annex Iraq's territory. We did not grab its resources for our own gain. You know, they may as well have the United States administration have annexed Iraqi territory. It's been effectively partitioned so that the Kurds, who are on the side of the U.S., have been able to extract oil and sell it privately to Western oil producers. And the last one is. This is what Obama said. We ended our war and left Iraq to its people and a fully sovereign Iraqi state that could make decisions about its own future. He didn't care to mention that once President Maliki of Iraq saw that his main support was coming from Iran and that the United States was dispensable and, of course, was most hated by the people there, he refused to give Obama an extension, even though we have thousands of mercenaries doing work there, and they are effectively our armed forces there.
Yes, exactly.
Years on the ground.
I guess we should feel better about the fact that instead of having the U.S. Army there, we've got a lot of hired mercenaries and $1 billion embassy there that's like a fortress. I don't think that we've really left Iraq, as I don't think you probably believe that either. I don't think we're going to leave Afghanistan for a very long time either. As a matter of fact, they're saying that we're going to be there for a couple more decades. And when you look at what's happening in Afghanistan, for example, they had dropped under the Taliban to 10% of the world supply of poppies for things like heroin, that sort of thing. Now they're at 90%, and they're having record crops year after year. And of course, Afghanistan is also one of the most concentrated sources of lithium in the world. And lithium is a key component of modern batteries. So I think we're going to be there for quite some time. It's always about the resources. We see that happening in the Ukraine as well. We see the IMF coming in, offering them a loan. It's like hooking a young college student. You know, here's your easy money, but don't worry. There's going to be some heavy strings on the back end of that. And of course, they're coming out right away and saying that they're going to nationalize the natural gas, the gas pipelines that are there. They're also going to be seeing 50% increases in energy costs for the people of the Ukraine. It's something that is, we see this pattern over and over again, and yet we see people, and there was an article on Drudge about secession and how people are demonstrating all over Europe. There are small groups that are now demonstrating. They had a demonstration in Brussels. They wanted to have self-determination. And it's getting increasingly difficult for the EU to hide the hypocrisy of bragging about Ukraine following self-determination and secession and then crying about the fact that the Crimea leaves that, or crying about the fact that Scotland wants to leave the UK, or that Venice wants to leave Italy. There are a lot of people out there who want government to be closer to them so they can get more control of it. We're losing control of the government in every single way. Thank you, Habu. One of the examples of how we're losing control of the government is right in Long Island. Look at this story from Westbury, New York. Now, this is a small community, about 15,000 people. There's a task force there, a police task force, that is going to inspect homes without notice for unpermitted guests. That's right. You've got a home. You're paying property taxes, as they point out in this article. This is from PoliceStateUSA.com. People are paying like a typical $9,000 a year in taxes. You've got a lot of people that are bringing in relatives or friends and charging them sublease. They don't like that. So they're calling that illegal tenants in your home. Since when do you have to get permission from the government to have somebody stay in your home? But it's even worse than that. They're going to have zero tolerance policy. This is what Westbury is bragging about. Say homeowners in the Long Island community of Westbury have had their private property rights abridged to the point where they cannot even make autonomous decisions about what's going to happen inside their own homes. Cops are going to sweep through communities and conduct housing inspections without notice. A presentation given at a town hall meeting included a prop that explained the changes. The poster included the following statement: modify search warrant law to eliminate prior notice. Aggressively use warrants and housing sweeps on a regular basis. Done. There you go. Done. That's where we are. Your home is no longer your castle. Even though you might pay more than $9,000 in taxes on it, you don't have any say-so as to who you have in your house or what you do with it. And most importantly, they don't have to give you notice. They don't need a warrant. They're just going to aggressively sweep the homes on a regular basis and break into your homes. That's the America that we're starting to live in. We've got Dennis in Oregon got back on the line. Dennis, you want to tell us about Oath Keepers?
Hi, David. Yeah, I listened to the interview that Alex had with Stuart Rhodes back in November last year with the Oath Keepers.
Yes.
And in that interview, he talked about they want to go operational and they want to set up civilization preservation teams. And I just wanted to share briefly kind of how that's been going in my neighborhood.
Sure. Go ahead.
After the interview, I went to their site and I found out who my local Oath Keepers guy was and called him up. And I found out that they want to use, as much as possible, work with existing groups that people are used to. So they want to reinvent the wheel and so forth, like Neighborhood Watch and Search and Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called up, so I said, well, I can do Neighborhood Watch, you know. And so I called up the local neighborhood community policing cop in our county, who's in charge of Neighborhood Watch, and she sent me out two things. One, she sent me out a list of the crimes that had been committed in our precinct, in my precinct the previous year, and then she sent me out the Neighborhood Watch materials. And it's interesting that in those Neighborhood Watch materials, they have a list of about 20 activities in addition to just security. And this includes things like neighborhood gardens, exercise group, game night, disaster preparedness, you know, things that the community can do together.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, David, we just went door to door.
Hello, hello. Well, I think we just lost the phone line there. Okay, phone system just went down. But we've got some breaking news here. Now, some of you may not have caught Piers Morgan's farewell. It's such a shame because, you know, it was such a typical Piers Morgan show. He had like about 55 minutes of irrelevancy and 5 minutes of irritating stupidity. Typical. That's why he's leaving now. You know, what he talked about for 55 minutes was the missing airplane, for which there's no new information. Guess what? It's still missing. I saw this weekend, I was in a restaurant and they had CNN up there and they were talking about the black box and how they could get data out of the black box. They hadn't found the black box. They were just talking about, if we were to find the black box, this is how we would get the information off. This is CNN. And this is Piers Morgan. And we're going to have some comments about what he said right after the break. So stay tuned.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and I apologize to the callers who are on hold. Our phone system went down. We're in the process of talking to Dennis from Oregon. I really wanted to hear the story about the Battle of Athens in 1946 from Steve in Tennessee, but our phone system is still down, so we're going to finish up with some news here. Now, of course, CNN's Piers Morgan signed off. We're so sad to see him go. We don't know where he's going to go because I think if he goes back to the UK, I think he's wanted back there because of a phone hacking scandal. But he would fit in really well if he just wants to stay here in the U.S. because, you know, apparently phone hacking isn't a problem. If you get involved in phone hacking, you can be part of the Senate Intelligence Committee like Mike Rogers, or you can resign and then become somebody on talk radio, which is apparently what Mike Rogers is going to do. He's going to have a talk radio show. But let's talk about Piers Morgan first. This is he had some interesting comments. So for 55 minutes, he talked about the missing airplane that they didn't have any new news about. And then he had another 5 minutes where he took a parting shot at gun owners again. He said that guns belong on a military battlefield. Really? Well, you know, tell that to Yeland Yee, the guy in California, the state senator who was trying to grab as many guns as he could, but also turning around and selling them, as well as rocket launchers, to the FBI in a sting operation. This is what we're concerned about. This is why you don't want to give the government a monopoly of power on guns, especially because look at what Homeland Security is doing. Homeland Security is actually trying to turn our city streets into a battlefield. And of course, under the NDAA, people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Barack Obama are saying that we all live on a battlefield, that it's a worldwide battlefield, and that on that battlefield, as part of the NDAA, you don't get due process. The military can pick you up and hold you indefinitely. They can transport you somewhere else for torture if they wish, or I guess they could just torture you where you are, and they don't have to be held accountable because under the NDAA, they assume that the entire world is a battlefield. So, Piers, when you say that guns belong on a military battlefield, tell that to your buddies at Homeland Security. And then he had an interesting quote. He quoted Sir Winston Churchill. He said, "If you have an important point to make, don't try to be subtle or clever. Use a pile driver. Hit the point once, then come back and hit it again, then hit it a third time, a tremendous whack." Well, you know, I don't think that Piers Morgan did that very well. You know who did that really well? Alex Jones. Alex Jones had an important point to make, and he wasn't trying to be subtle about it either. He was passionate. People needed to see that we're passionate about losing our freedoms. It isn't just an intellectual discussion. It's gotten to the point where people need to get angry about their freedoms being taken. I remember just a couple of weeks ago at CPAC, Ted Cruz got up and he made some jokes about, turn on your cell phones, I want Obama to hear every word of this next thing I'm going to say. And the people laughed. Now, it was kind of a joke, and I understand. I don't want to be accused of being humorless, but we've got to get to the point where it's no longer funny, where somebody says something like that and the reaction is not that we laugh about it, but maybe we hiss about it or we boo about it. We should be angry that they're doing these things to us illegally. Finally, he says, this is Piers Morgan talking. He says, "I've made my point. I've given it a tremendous whack, and now it's down to you. It's your country. These are your gun laws, and the senseless slaughter will only end when enough Americans stand together and say enough." Yeah, you know, there's a lot of senselessness that's going on about guns, and we were just talking earlier in the show about a guy who, under D.C. laws, Washington, D.C. laws, he was just convicted of trying to acquire ammunition, because of course what he had wasn't even ammunition. He didn't have guns. He didn't have ammunition. He had a misfired shotgun shell and some metal bullets that didn't have any powder or projectile possibility with it for muzzle loading purposes. No guns, not even a muzzle loader. And yet they persecuted him over that. This is in a city that doesn't want to obey the Constitution, ignores the Second Amendment, and then when their Supreme Court, which they like to pretend is the arbiter of a living document, they think the Constitution doesn't mean what it says it means, but it means whatever the Supreme Court says, unless the Supreme Court says it means something they don't like. And in D.C., when the Supreme Court struck down their laws, they just continued doing this, continued to do these senseless persecutions. That's what's going on, Piers. I know you don't understand it, but we do. And so long, farewell. We're not really sad to see you go. Now, somebody else who's leaving, of course, is Mike Rogers, and we're going to be very glad to see him get out of Congress. But, of course, he's going to continue to spew his police state, surveillance state, war state rhetoric on the radio. It turns out he's going to have a talk show. Now, as he's leaving, he did a couple of things this last week. The House Intelligence Committee started to assume ownership over oversight and reform of the NSA. They're trying to reform the FISA Act, and the Judiciary Committee has been the one that's been taking the lead on this because they're concerned about civil liberties and they're concerned about the law. But now the House Intelligence Committee, which has really been a cheerleader organization for the NSA, took control of things and tried to come up with their own quote-unquote reform bill. Now, understand that FISA was a result of the Church Committee hearings that saw tremendous abuses from the CIA, and they created the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to try to limit what the NSA was doing, limit what the CIA is doing. And of course, they have escaped the bonds of that, just like they've escaped the bonds of the Constitution. And they've used it to create something called the FISA court that meets in secret, one judge, no jury, no lawyer arguing the other side. They make their determinations of this secret court in secret, and they pretend that they're modifying the Constitution with these secret decisions that we're not even allowed to see. So some people are trying to reform that whole process. But then, of course, you got Mike Rogers and Dutch Ruppersberger, a Democrat from Maryland, who put forward a proposal called End Bulk Collection Act, which, of course, doesn't end bulk collection. You can always count on the Congress to come up with a law that does just the opposite. It doesn't end bulk collection. What it does is it switches the collection of bulk metadata from the NSA to the phone companies. See, that's a really smart move because that allows them to not take the criticism. They can say, well, we're not holding it, just the phone companies are. And they can always go back and pick that up at any time they wish. And, of course, we know that they've been doing that for quite some time. This is an article that came out on RT this weekend, or actually it was on the 20th is when it was published. Top lawyer for the National Security Agency told a Civil Liberties Oversight Board that the U.S. technology companies were fully aware of the surveillance agency's data collection, knowledge which the firms have vigorously denied having. They've been saying all along that they were not really collecting the information, even though we saw these leaks from Snowden about the PRISM program. Oh, they didn't participate in that at all. Well, the NSA general counsel said, no, actually, they did. They had knowledge of all communication information and metadata collected by the agency. And he said they were collecting it in every aspect. And of course, one of the first people to do that was Microsoft. They joined the program back in 2007. Syrian hackers are now claiming to reveal that they know even how much the FBI pays Microsoft for the customer data. See, it's not 30 pieces of silver anymore. The Syrian Electronic Army says that in December 2012, they found a document that Microsoft emailed. It was a PDF invoice for $145,100, broken down into $100 per request for information. And then in August 2013, Microsoft allegedly emailed a similar invoice, this time for $352,000 at a rate of $200 per request. Okay, so they're invoicing the NSA for the information that they say they had no idea the NSA was collecting. And of course, then Microsoft is still in the news, promising not to invade customer accounts again. Instead, they're going to have the government do it. You see how they keep switching it back and forth? Mike Rogers says, well, we're not keeping the data. The company, the telephone companies are keeping the data. And then Microsoft says, well, we're not going to spy on you. The governments are going to spy on you. So they keep pointing at the other person. And yet it's kind of like, you know, you can't really tell where the head of the snake begins and where the tail ends. Because when it comes to these large companies like Microsoft and the government, there really isn't much difference. One begins and the other one stops, and they just kind of keep rotating back and forth. This article says from RT, after reports last week that Microsoft had infiltrated a Hotmail client's content in search of allegedly stolen company source code, the tech giant now claims that it will notify proper legal authorities in the future to avoid violating privacy protection. Yeah, you know, but it's more politically expedient to have them do that. If you think that metadata is not important, you need to look at this article that's up on InfoWars about how the NSA can use your metadata to predict your personality. It's actually more invasive than just listening to your phone conversation. They can learn a lot more about you from your metadata. Well, that's it for today's program. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 Central, 12 Eastern. Catch us then. Thanks. Bye-bye.